Bibles tonight to the book of Jonah. Jonah, the minor prophet in the Old Testament. And if you have an old Schofield Bible, it's page 943. The book of Jonah. This is a part of the Scripture that a lot of people think is just a fairy tale. But I can assure you that Jonah was a real prophet of the Lord who actually did live. I can assure you that he was in fact swallowed by a whale and that God allowed him to survive after 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale, and that he prophesied to a wicked people in the place called Nineveh. And I can also assure you that he had no cell phones go off during his messages. I say that with a tremendous amount of confidence that he never did. Anyway, Jonah chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would tonight speak to our hearts. Cause us to be a grateful people. Lord, I pray that we would learn a lesson from a rebellious prophet. And I pray, Lord, that we would not follow after this course. Lord, I pray that we would, with meekness and wisdom, draw from the Word of God that which you desire for us to have tonight. And may you be glorified, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you in this room tonight have at some point in your life heard the story of Jonah? Let me see your hand. All right. Is there anybody here that has never heard of the story of Jonah from God's Word? Anybody like that? I think all of us have some degree of familiarity with the record of Jonah, the prophet of the Lord, and how that he fled away from the presence of the Lord and he went in the opposite direction that God had commanded him to go, and he refused to go unto Nineveh, and as a result, a terrible tempest began to come about in the seas where the ship was that he was on, and the ship was tossed. And we know that the mariners that were guiding the ship were terribly afraid, and they were pagan men. They cried out unto their gods. And they tried everything that they knew from their skill of navigating the seas to try to guide their vessel safely to harbor or to shore, but to no avail. And it became more and more apparent to them as the moments wore on and as the waves grew rougher that they were in peril not only of losing the vessel, but of losing their very lives. And so they cried out to their gods. But the Bible tells us in verse number 5, "But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Do you not find it interesting that here is Jonah in the midst of a terrible storm? He's running away from the Lord, and he is asleep. I believe by this time that Jonah had hardened his heart against the will of God for his life. He had determined that he was going to go another way. Tonight I want to just bring you a Bible study, if I may. And I've entitled it, "After All He's Done for You." After all He's done for you. I can remember as a youngster learning a song, "After All He's Done for Me." Do you remember singing that song? "After all He's done for me, after all He's done for me, How can I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely after all He's done for me? And I can remember singing that song growing up as a youngster. I probably don't have the tune right. We haven't sung it in so many years. But I thought, you know, after all the Lord has done for me, how can I be ungrateful? How can I just decide I'm going to do my own thing? I'm going to harden my heart and have dull ears to the voice of God after all that the Lord has done for me. Now, I want to say that even in this passage of Scripture that we're going to examine tonight in these next few minutes together, we're going to identify several very valuable things that God did, in fact, for Jonah. And even after all that the Lord did for Jonah, he was still ungrateful. I believe today that we have so much to thank the Lord for. God showers us with blessings every day. The Bible declares every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I want you to see some things that God did for Jonah. And after all those things He did, Jonah was still ungrateful. And I believe tonight there's a lesson for us to draw from this. The Bible tells us here that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. I want you to notice the first thing that God did for Jonah was that He spoke to him. Do you know that God is not obligated to communicate with man? Did you know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Sovereign of all the universe, does not have to condescend to share anything with mortal man? Did you know this? That God is not obligated to speak to you by any mean, written or verbal. And yet, because He loves us and He has set His heart upon us, He has delivered unto us the Word of God to man. It is a love letter from God to you. And I want to say that the Bible says the word of the Lord came specifically unto Jonah. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Sovereign of all the universe, communicated with lowly Jonah, and He had a message that He wanted to deliver to him. Now, I think today, if you were to receive a telephone call from someone that you esteem, let's just say that our congressman, Trent Franks, I esteem him very greatly. And let's say that he calls you on the telephone. He said, "Hey, I'd like to take you out to dinner. My wife and I, we've been thinking about you and praying for you. And we'd like to take you out for a bite of dinner. Let's say we go to Red Lobster and have surf and turf together, my treat. All right, I just want to spend some time talking to you." Now, I got to tell you, if I got a call like that, or if you got a call like that, we would feel truly grateful to have received a word like that, to have been thought about by someone that we esteem so much. And here was the call to the Lord, the prophet of God, and God had a specific word that He gave to him, and God thought to communicate it to him, and that was a privilege and an honor, and God spoke to him. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you that it is a privilege for God to communicate, for us to hear from heaven that God communicates with us. And look, after all that He's said to us through His Word, why is it that we still do not have the degree of gratitude for the Word of God like we should have? If we were truly grateful for God's Word, if we were truly thankful that the Sovereign of all the universe spoke to us, do you not think that we would spend some time pondering that word from Him? I believe that it would change our Bible reading habits when we finally came to the place where we truly were grateful that God condescended to speak to us. What a privilege it is. And after all He's done for us, how can we not be grateful to Him? We know that God spoke to Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh." I want you to notice that not only did the Lord speak to Jonah, but the Lord sent Jonah. The Lord sent Jonah. You say, He sent him to Nineveh And he didn't want to go. So he decided, I'm going to go somewhere different. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. And the Bible says he rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He knew God was guiding him one way. And he thought, maybe if God goes this way, I can lose him at the pass. And I'll go another way. And he was fleeing, not just from Nineveh, but he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Now, not only did the Lord speak to him, but the Lord sent him. And I want you to understand something, that where God guides you, he goes there with you. Where God sends you, he goes before you, and he goes with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Look, he said, I'm going to go with you through the valley of the shadow. Thou art with me wherever it is that you may go. And the Lord said, I have some place that I've appointed for you to go. I have a job that I want you to do. And you know, I want you to understand, like Paul understood, that he said to the Ephesian believers, and he told Timothy, that it was a grace to be sent to the Gentiles. Paul recognized that God didn't have to do anything with him. God could have saved him and just taken him out. God could have saved him and just left him to wander around and kind of fend for himself. But God said, look, I have something meaningful and something eternal that I've called you to do. And though you are not worthy of it, I will be the one that does it for you, because faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And I want you to know that it's a privilege to be asked of the Lord to do anything. There is no task, great or small, that God gives us to do that we are worthy of. But by his grace, he has said, I have a work that I want you to do. And it adds a purpose and a meaning and a joy and a fulfillment to the life. And that's something that we have not earned. It is something that God has gifted us with. You know what I'm doing here right now? I feel like I am having the time of my life. I'm able to do something not only that God has called me to, but something that I enjoy a great deal. I enjoy ministering the Word of God. I enjoy caring for the people of God. It has its trials and tribulations, as anything does. But I'm so grateful to be able to do something that I am not worthy to do, but by His grace, He has appointed for me to do. The Lord sent me to Phoenix. He sent me to Freeway Baptist Church. I was talking to a gentleman today, and I said, I believe with all of my heart that God has affirmed and confirmed in a multitude of ways that I'm exactly in the place of His appointment, doing exactly what He's called me to do. And I'm resting in that fact, and I know that God has revealed it to me. What a wonderful thing it is to have a purpose for your life, to have a reason to wake up in the morning and a work to vest your life in, and knowing that it is of eternal consequence. And because God has saved you, He has called you to a work, and He has given every one of us a commission to go and carry the gospel to a gainsaying world and to vest our lives into that which is eternal. And though vocationally you may work in an office, or you may stand a post, or maybe you work on a truck, or you're nailing shingles into a roof, or whatever it is that you might be doing tomorrow morning, it is all to the end to which God has called you, and that is to bring Him honor and glory and to be involved in the greatest work in all of the world. And that's something that none of us deserves. We don't deserve that. You know, God has created man for a variety of things, but He's put it in the heart of men to work. He's put it in the heart of women to work too. But you know, there is something that God has placed in the heart of a woman that is maternal. Desire to mother and to have those maternal instincts nurtured in her heart and then fulfilled in her life. And just as a woman can comprehend that yearning and that craving in her heart, God's put it in the heart of men to succeed in labor, to do something that is worthy of the respect of peers and invest in a work. But then not only to be able to do a work for the Lord and have it last for eternity, all of us, it's a wonderful thing. After all He's done for us, how can we take for granted the fact that He's asked us to invest our life in 4- and 5-year-old kids? Tell them about Jesus. What's a privilege that none of us deserves. Kathy, to be able to receive small children, infants, in the name of Jesus, to help mommy and daddy strengthen a marriage in a Sunday school hour. What a privilege and an honor that it is. We don't deserve it. Sometimes we lose sight of that. It's like, I have to go, change a bunch of snotty-nosed kids' diapers and, deal with these screaming memes and all these things and think that this is a terrible lot that I have been given. No, it is a privilege that we do not deserve. It's a gift from the Lord. And after all He's done for us, how could we then be ungrateful? He spoke to Jonah. He sent Jonah. We know the story, how that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that a mighty tempest blew and the men were exceeding afraid. And Jonah, he absolutely knew why. They said, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is thine occupation and whence comest thou? That is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew." That was true. He said, "I fear the Lord." That was a bald-faced lie. He was running away from God. Amen? And so he wasn't demonstrating the fear of the Lord because in selfish pride, he was running away from God. Was he not? He was running away from God. And so he said, "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land." Okay, quit waxing so pious. Just tell them I'm running away from God. And then the men were exceeding afraid and said to him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And they said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Listen. He was cast into the sea. Now, he was not grateful. He was angry. It was like, "I don't care if I die." I mean, he was brazen in the face of death. Not only was he running away from God, but then when the storm blew, he was sleeping in the back of the ship. He'd hardened his heart against the convicting power of God in his life. He was able to sleep while running away from God. Now, folks, listen, if you're able to sleep well while you're rebelling against God, whew, God's preparing a whale. You know what I mean? A whale of a problem there because, God wants us to be sensitive to His voice. But you know what? He was angry with the Lord. He was not grateful that God spoke to him. He was not grateful that God had given him a meaningful work to do. He was angry at the Lord. You know why? Because God was sending him to a people that he had no concern for, that he did not care about, and he hoped that God would condemn and destroy, and yet God was sending him to Nineveh, and he knew that God was a merciful and a gracious God. And he suspected that there was a strong chance that if he went to Nineveh, that God might be merciful unto the Ninevites, and they were the ones that had persecuted the people of God year after year. They were a terrible and a barbaric people that wanted to kill, maim, and destroy Hebrews. And the last thing in the world that Jonah wanted to do was go to Nineveh. I wonder, has God ever asked you to do something that you yourself would not have chosen to do? Have you ever found yourself doing a work that you would never have chosen to do? Have you ever found yourself amongst the people that you would never have chosen to be with? Have you ever found yourself in a place that you would never have chosen for yourself? Have you ever found your place, your life in a place that you never would have scripted for yourself, but God in His sovereignty said, "I'm sending you here for a purpose," and you found once you got there and with those people and that work and what you were to do, you were mad at God for causing it to happen. Nobody's just like shaking their fist at God and yelling at the Lord. But you know what? You can run away from Him. You know what that is an indication of? A totally ungrateful heart. God was within His right to do whatever He chose to do. He was given life and breath to every living thing. He gave life to Jonah. He called the people of God the apple of His eye. They were the people of promise. And they were the recipients of great promises, and God had been kind and merciful to them. And it was really a little thing for God to ask Jonah to go over to Nineveh. But Jonah didn't like him. He was mad. And he said, "I'm not going." And so finally, He told them, cast me into the sea, and they cast him into the sea. And we know that God prepared a whale that swallowed Jonah whole. And there in the belly of the whale, I believe that through great trials and affliction that God spoke to the heart of Jonah. And finally, when he repented of his bitterness toward God and his anger at God and repented of a lack of a grateful heart for the fact that God had a work for him to do, that the Lord agitated the belly of the whale and caused Jonah to be vomited up on dry ground alive. The Bible says that in verse number 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And that's exactly what he did, by the way. God was going to be merciful to him. Do you know that? And he observed lying vanities. You know what he said? I fear the Lord, the maker of the sky, the sea, and all that is, and all these things. And he was lying through his teeth. Right? Liar, liar, pants on fire. And he forsook the mercy of the Lord. Lying to everybody, you know, well, I'm a Hebrew, I fear God, you know, but he was running from the Lord. And then the Bible says in verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. With a voice of what? Thanksgiving. You know what? God convicted him. After all I've done for you, I ask you to do one thing. And I ask you to do it as a labor of love, gratitude. Recognize you don't deserve to be able to do that. And you weren't thankful. You ran away from me. You were angry. You were bitter at me. Because things didn't go the way you wanted them to go. And he had to come to the place where he repented of an ungrateful heart before the Lord. And he said, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. You know, the Lord spoke to him. The Lord sent him. Thirdly, the Lord saved him. The Lord saved him. You know, Jonah didn't deserve it, but he became a type of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And we can read in the New Testament where that Jonah is a type in type of the old in the Old Testament, of the New Testament Jesus, who would lay in the grave 3 days and three nights and would come out alive for us. And I want you to understand that that was a grace he didn't deserve. But the greatest thing that God did here, I see, is that God saved him. He brought him to the place where he recognized that salvation was of the Lord. And I think not only at this point did salvation come to his body, but to him spiritually. I believe it was his salvation where he turned his heart to the Lord, and God allowed him to be spit up. And do you know what? He didn't deserve it. Do you know what he deserved? He deserved to die in the belly of the whale. A terrible and a painful death. That's what he deserved. But the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. And when I do, I want you to be thankful for it. I want you to be grateful. With a voice of thanksgiving. The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. So the Lord spoke to him. He didn't deserve it. The Lord sent him. He didn't deserve it. The Lord saved him. He didn't deserve it. And you know what? Fourthly, we see the Lord stayed with him. You know what? God could have said, you know what? You're a rebellious prophet. I'm going to use somebody that will be submissive to me. I don't need you. I don't want you. You're a rebellious prophet. You're mad at God. The God that made you, the God that saved you, you're mad at me. I'm through with you, Jonah. You're washed up. I'm taking you out of here. You know, so often I'm so grateful that God is God and I'm not. You know, you ever find yourself feeling that way? God, you're sovereign. You know so much more than we do. And you see what we cannot see. And there's no searching of your ways. But you know, if I was God, I probably would have dealt with me a lot more harshly than He's dealt with me. How about you? Probably. But you know what God did with Jonah? He said, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to go with you. I know that you're getting bombed in the fourth inning, but I'm gonna let you finish the game. I know that you're mad and you're upset that things aren't going your way, but you know what? I I spoke to you because I love you. And I sent you because I'm merciful and gracious to you. And I saved you because of my grace and my love for you. But not only that, I am going to stay with you. I'll never leave you. I'll not forsake you. I'm not going back on what I've called you to do because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. I'm going to stick with you and I'm going to let you stay in this thing and I'm going to let you finish the game and I want you to go and do the work that I first gave you to do. He didn't deserve. He deserved to be put on the bench, didn't he? He deserved to sit there and let somebody else take their licks in the game. Look, God said, hey, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to continue to ask you to go to Nineveh. I could find anybody that I chose to go and do this work for me to save perhaps the second largest city on planet Earth, one of the most bustling cities in the world of its day. Over 1 million people in Nineveh. I could send somebody else, but I'm choosing you. I've chosen you. And now look, stop being rebellious. I'm sticking with you here. He didn't deserve it. God gives second chances. Amen. Aren't you glad? You know, I don't look very good in shelf paper. Do you? I think I look better in wool suits than in shelf paper. You know, God didn't want to put you on the shelf. He wants to keep using you. And you know, when He does, don't complain about it. Thank Him for it. Amen. He stayed with him. And we know what happened. He went into Nineveh and he told the king that God, yet 3 days, God will destroy this place. And the king of Nineveh declared a fast and they repented. They cried out to God and said, who knows if God will turn and repent, turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not. And God repented of what He had intended to bring upon them. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. I think Jonah had some issues, don't you? Anybody here tonight got some issues? I mean, look, if I had just spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, and I was spit up on dry ground alive, and God spoke to me again, I think I would reserve my emotions for just a minute. But when he realized that God intended good upon the Ninevites, he was displeased. He was not pleased with God's choice. And he felt like he was justified in being angry because he felt like if there was any justice in the world, those people over there would be destroyed and he would be vindicated. But now that God was going to show kindness to them, I'm mad and I have every reason to be mad. Just 2 days before, he repented of his unthankful spirit. And guess what? He just took it back. Right? Have you ever come forward in a service and you said, oh God, I'm going to make this decision. And 2 days later, you went back on it. You did? You're kidding me, Chuck. Why? I never. No, I think all of us have done that. I think all of us have done that. We thought we're going to do this or that, and a few days later we turn around and we go back on what we said unto the Lord. But you know, the Lord spoke to him, the Lord sent him, the Lord saved him, didn't deserve it. The Lord stayed with him. He really didn't deserve that either. But you know, as he sat down under the tree, he was mad. And the Bible tells us that he said in verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech you, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Can you imagine? He was so mad he just wanted God to kill him. Now that's pretty mad. Amen. There have been a few times where I've been really upset. But I can't remember, you know, looking up to heaven and saying, okay, God, just kill me now. I'd be too scared he'd follow through. You know what I'm saying? But he was that man. I mean, he was brazen in the face of death. He was brazen to go into the sea and think it's better for me to die than to live. If God's going to be kind to the Ninevites, I'm mad at God for sending me over there. It's not right. Even though he didn't even deserve to go as the ambassador for the Lord. It was a grace unto him and he was unthankful for it. God saved him. He wasn't happy about that. Then God sent him to Nineveh and he had the most successful revival meeting in the history of humanity, and he was mad at God for sparing those people, and now he's upset with the Lord. He's saying, just kill me. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? You know, every once in a while I want to make a flash card that says, doest thou well to be angry? And when somebody gets a little upset with me, I just want to hold it up. Doest thou well to be angry? Some of you are thinking right now, I can smell wood burning. And think, man, where can I put these around the house? Just doest thou well to be angry? And so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. You know what? Look. The Lord spoke to him. He didn't deserve it. The Lord sent him. He didn't deserve it. The Lord saved him. He didn't deserve it. The Lord stayed with him. He didn't deserve it. And do you know what the Lord did? Jonah was angry, saying, God, just kill me. And God sheltered him. Why? The Bible says here that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Even when Jonah was yelling and throwing a wall-eyed fit at God, God was still kind to him. Did you see that? He said, God, just kill me. I'm mad at you. And the Lord said, I think I'll make a gourd grow up and shelter him from the sun so he can deal with his grief. He sheltered him. Did he deserve that? No, look, he deserves something far worse than having some shelter over his head. And you know what? Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. The only thing he was thankful for was the thing that comforted him in his flesh. He was thankful because it was his own will. Finally, okay, we got something good going on here. I'm happy about this because I have something to comfort me. Whenever it was his own will and he had something that pleased him, hey, I'll be happy about that. And you know what? There are times where we're willing to say, oh, I want to give Jesus a hand clap of praise because, you know, I got a clean bill of health, or because I got a raise at work, or because, you know, I got a reduction in my mortgage, or because, you know, I got a brand new car, you know, or whatever it is. Sometimes people say, let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. But then, you know what? When you get your pink slip, what then? Are we giving Jesus a hand clap of praise for that? Sometimes I think the Lord must look down from heaven and say, save the applause, guys. It's a little disingenuous. Why don't you just live a life that reflects that you love and appreciate me? Spare me the applause, okay? I think what God is looking for is some folks that not only when He shelters them, but when He sends them to a place that they would not go, that they will be grateful to Him. That they will sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving and pay that is vowed. The Lord sheltered him. But you know what? The Bible says Jonah was glad of the gourd. It was the only thing that in the whole thing that Jonah was happy about. He wasn't happy about the Lord. He wasn't happy about the work that God had given him to do. He wasn't happy about that God spoke to him. He wasn't happy that God saved him. In fact, he was crying out for God to kill him. He was crying out for the mariners to kill him. Throw me in the sea. He just wanted to die. He's like, I'm going to be out of my misery. I'm so mad. God put me on this earth to frustrate me and make me mad. And if that's the way it's going to be, just kill me. What a wretch. What a self-absorbed wretch. Did he deserve any kindness? And you know what? Aren't you glad that God sometimes when we're mad and angry and upset with how things are working out, He'll still bless us with shelter. He'll still want to care for us in our grief. Isn't that good? Do we deserve it? No. You know, the last thing I want to tell you is that the Lord schooled him. So the Lord spoke to him. The Lord sent him. The Lord saved him. The Lord stayed with him. The Lord sheltered him. And the Lord schooled him. You know what the Lord did? The Lord prepared a worm in the morning and rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wishing himself to die. This guy's really wanting to die. He's got a death wish, you know. You notice how three times in this he's asking to die, right? He's miserable. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, yes, I do. So what, I mean, can you see him with his hands on his hips looking up to heaven? Having this conversation with the Lord? The Lord said, do you really do well to be angry for the gourd? And then, look, he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. For as long as I live, I'm going to be mad about this. Can you see it? For as long as I live, I'm angry about this. Think about it. What he deserved was a good paddling, right? Verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Is it right for you to be angry about the little comfort I gave you that came up in a night and perished in a night? And you have no compassion upon a city of 1 million people? 120,000 men of full age, also women and children. He took them to school. And do you know what the Bible says? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Do you know what the word chasten means in the Greek? It means to teach. You know when the Lord takes you to the woodshed, removes the gourd from over your head, you know what He's doing? He's loving on you. And we don't deserve that either. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I've been through some schooling at the hand of God. Have you? There are a lot of times I was going through it and I didn't like it at all. But now that I have the opportunity to look back over it, I wouldn't trade what God has shown me for all the money in the world. Now, there are days I wouldn't give you a nickel to have to go back through it. But I wouldn't take all the money in the world for what God has shown me through those things. And I realize that God did those things in my life not because I deserved His love and patience. Not because I deserve to know the mysteries of God found only through suffering. But because God is good. Because God loves me. And as I look back over that, and I hear the voice of the Lord saying, doest thou well to be so upset about the gourd? And you don't even care about eternal things. It's a reminder to me that God loves me enough and is patient enough with me to give me that which I do not deserve to know. And for this I should be thankful. When he was in the belly of the whale, he realized he had an ungrateful heart. He was mad at God and he repented of that and said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. God spoke to him, he didn't deserve it. God sent him, he didn't deserve to be used. God saved him, he didn't deserve that. God stayed with him, he deserved to be put on the shelf. God sheltered him when he was angry to comfort him in his distress and grief. And God schooled him because he loved him. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. After all he did for him, He said, I'll be mad for the rest of my life. Can I ask you a question? After everything that God has done for you, how can you not give Him praise and thanksgiving?